This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. The effects of the pandemic on mental health in the U.S. are profound, but clinicians who work with children say they're particularly concerned about one trend over the past several months, a spike in adolescents who have suicidal thoughts or have tried to take their lives. Boston Children's Hospital reports that between July and October of last year, it saw a 47% increase from the same time the year before in kids needing to be hospitalized for suicidal ideation or attempts. The uptick from last year has continued. Children's Hospital says as of today, it has more than 50 kids either admitted or waiting for an inpatient bed for reasons related to suicide. We spoke with three doctors who are seeing this up close. Dr. Patricia Ibeziako, who's Associate Chief for Clinical Services in the Psychiatry Department at Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Elizabeth Pinsky, Pediatric Psychiatrist at Mass General Hospital. And Dr. Michelle Durham, Child, Adolescent, and Adult Psychiatrist at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Ibeziako of Children says there are several stressors related to the pandemic that are contributing to the despair bringing kids to the hospital.
Over the past 6 to 8 months, the stressors that we've heard about from patients who are presenting with suicidality are academic struggles like declining grades, having difficulty focusing, family stressors and conflicts, and also social isolation and decreased social interactions. I must say, though, that school and academic stress have always been the most frequently reported stress in youth presenting to the hospital with mental health struggles. It's just much higher volumes of patients and pandemic-related impact.
This is Dr. Pinsky. You think about the young people who you know, the adolescents you know, who are going through the process that is completely normal and very important of separating from their families and developing an identity outside of that. And kids who are doing well and who are healthy and are in their communities, those identities are an athlete, an actress, a friend, a person out in the community. And we have taken those things away from these kids in a way that really attacks the things that makes kids really healthy. We know that kids who are committed to sports, who have activities, who sort of have good peer groups, do better. The losses that adolescents in particular are experiencing around identity and around who they are in the world, I think is one of the reasons that we're seeing such an uptick in self-harm.
That's an interesting point, because we know that there are often underlying diagnosable mental illnesses that you encounter with young people who want to take their lives or have attempted to take their lives. But the pandemic has added to that so much more, including in Black and brown communities. And Dr. Durham, I know that you serve many of those as well. They've suffered a disproportionate impact in the pandemic. How are things exacerbated by the pandemic, Dr. Durham?
Yeah, I think that, you know, food insecurity, housing insecurity, working multiple jobs, multi-generational families, it's always been at play for our families. For these families in particular, financial struggles and whether or not you're going to be evicted or be able to, you know, have a roof over your head is obviously quite challenging. And then on top of that, we know that there's also a lot of loss, a lot of death that unfortunately impacted the same families that are some of our essential workers and have multiple jobs. For the kids we see here too, you know, discrimination, racism, systemic issues were always a struggle. And so not everyone was paying close attention to those kids that were struggling. And now people are just talking about it more.
I want to pick up on that point that people weren't talking so much about systemic racism before and how much that has come to light during the pandemic. Dr. Pinsky at Mass General, has this changed the way you talk to some of those pediatric patients who come in with suicidal thoughts? Has this made you address their concerns differently or their treatment differently?
I guess what I would say is that we are all in evolution as we try to think about the way we interact with patients, the histories that families bring into our rooms with us. I mean, that is a very, very, very big question, and one that I think medicine in general and psychiatry specifically has a great deal of work to do.
Dr. Ibeziako from Children's Hospital, do you have any thoughts about that?
The shift here hasn't been so much how we talk with patients. I'm a Black provider. I've always been aware of systemic and structural racism. However, it's opened the door for us to have conversations with other providers and talk about how we provide culturally sensitive and safe care to the patients and families who are presenting to us. One of the things I worry about is that there are probably communities of color and patients of color who are not necessarily accessing care and coming to the hospital and are quietly suffering at home. And that keeps me up at night sometimes.
And Dr. Durham at Boston Medical Center, the pandemic continues. It's taking different form now because of the vaccine. But these kids are going to be facing many of the same problems as things unfold. And they're in a really bad place. What can you say to them to give them any sense of hope in this new world?
We're all sort of going through this together, right? And there is something to be said for that, that we can commiserate at some level on. We've all lost something in this pandemic. We try a lot, you know, in the work we do to also use like a strength-based approach, trying to figure out some of the positive in things and what can we grow and learn from, but also acknowledging and validating that it's been very stressful and that we hear and we understand that.
Dr. Pinsky?
It does feel that we are perhaps shifting to a new phase in the pandemic now, and that we may be moving on from sort of the darkest days in terms of isolation for children and some of the things that were hitting kids the hardest. And so I hope that some of that hope can roll down from grownups onto children over the coming months.
Dr. Bisiacco at Children's.
Yes, I think that it feels like the deepest, darkest period of your life when you're struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts. But we do know that things can get better and do get better, especially with the right treatment. And one of the things that gives me hope is that as a result of this pandemic, a lot more light is being shed on this problem and on mental health issues. And even at the federal level, the American Rescue Plan that was just approved includes about $80 million of funding for child mental health across the country. And so for families who are struggling with this, for parents who have kids struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts, one good outcome from this pandemic is that a lot more people are paying attention to this problem.
Dr. Patricia Bisiacco, Associate Chief for Clinical Services in the Psychiatry Department at Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Elizabeth Pinsky, Pediatric Psychiatrist at Mass General Hospital. Dr. Michelle Durham, Child, Adolescent, and Adult Psychiatrist at Boston Medical Center. Thank you all. Very nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
We have a phone number for you to call if you or somebody you know is thinking about suicide. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The number is 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK.